Welcome to Inside the Spec. We are the podcast that bridges the gap between building product manufacturers and the architects who specify them. Each episode brings you unfiltered insights into how architects find, evaluate, and specify building materials. I'm your co-host, Megan Kavinsky, and CEO of Point to Point. We're an advertising agency focused in securing the architect's spec through results-focused marketing. And I'm joined by my co-host, Vardhan Mehta, a second-gen architect and founder of AceLab. AceLab is an AI-driven product selection platform that brings architects and manufacturers together early in the design process.
Whether you're a manufacturer looking to better serve the architectural community or a supplier seeking to understand the evolving needs of design professionals, Inside the Spec delivers actionable intelligence straight from the source. Inside the Spec, because understanding how architects think is the first step to becoming the architect standard.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Inside the Spec. I'm your co-host, Megan Kavinsky. I am CEO of Point to Point. We are a marketing firm built for mid-market building materials manufacturers. And I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Vardhan Mehta. He is CEO of AceLab. AceLab brings manufacturers and architects together earlier in the design process. And today we are joined by Joe Mateka. Joe is the founder of Walk Your Plans. And this is cool. This is cool for a lot of reasons. One, fun fact, all three of us are in Cleveland. Totally unrelated, you know, like when I met Vardhan, he did not live here. Joe and I, we live on other sides of the river, basically different countries. I'm kidding, you know.
True. It's a Cleveland thing.
But, you know, it's just crazy that we're all in the same community, you know. So thrilled to have a bunch of Clevelanders here. For those of you who aren't familiar with Walk Your Plans, because it is a little bit newer, it is the first life-size blueprint projection facility in the United States. And if you're asking yourself, well, huh, I wonder what that is, this episode is for you, because that is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to have Joe explain his business, how he had the vision for it, and the benefits that it's providing to the overall AEC community, really in the schematic design phase. So welcome, Joe.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Glad to be here, guys.
Yeah. So Joe, tell us, what is a life-size blueprint projection facility? What does that mean?
So what it means is, Megan, we take blueprints and we project them to the exact scale of the project, be it a residential or a commercial project. Everything that we have, we project to the inch. And so when you walk your plans, what you're doing is you're taking yourself and putting yourself in the exact space that you're about to build. And so we started it here in Cleveland at the end of 2022, and it's kind of taken on a life of its own. We'll get into that a little bit later, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun to build. I thought it would be something local here in Cleveland, but it ends up being something that we're turning into a national and actually international business. So
that's fun.
Yeah, we actually, I don't know if you still use it this way because you were very in your infancy then, but we actually did our point-to-point company kickoff. I think it was in 2024. At your facility, because that was the year that we used to be just building materials, but we are really building materials, mid-market architectural products. We're pretty nichey. And so as a way to like get my team excited about this, you know, space that we were in, I thought that it would be like, they could almost like feel it or see it, you know, like what
very
is this?
Cool.
Like? You know, so it was, very
I didn't realize
cool.
You guys had been in. That's neat, Megan.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep. So,
and Joe, I, you know, as a founder, what led you to Walk Your Plans? Like, what was the impetus for, what problem, pain point were you noticing in the industry?
Sure. So full disclosure, I'm not a lifetime industry guy. I came from my career has actually been a little niche. I've built several different national businesses. And my most recent one was a fundraising business that I built into a national business and sold to a strategic partner. And I thought at my stage in life, I may be kind of winding down my career, but I think a lot of businesses are born out of different situations and things that happen in your life. And so what happened with me was I partnered with a gentleman out of Salt Lake City, and I built an investment property out at Yellowstone. And what I built was, it's a six-bedroom lodge. And my the partnership we had entailed him donating the land and being the general contractor, and I was more or less, for lack of a better term, the bank. And our target market, my partner is Salt Lake City, he's Mormon, and Mormon families every year have family reunions. And so each family, there's a husband and a wife, there's two family reunions. Well, West Yellowstone is 4 hours from Salt Lake City. So between Salt Lake City and all of Idaho, which is 90% Mormon, there's a lot of family reunions and they all want to be in the same house. So there's a market for bigger homes. So we built a 6-bedroom home, have a bunk room in it, sleeps 26 people. And so that's who our target is. And you know, we did like a lot of folks do, where we were passing blueprints back and forth, change this, modify this, that type of a thing. And after about 3 months, we're like, okay, we've got this thing. Let's go to construction. So we poured the foundation and I fly out and we start walking, you know, the floor to kind of see how things were going to look. And when you have up to 26 guests, they're usually, there's a family or we're working together. You need a great room, right? Well, the joke is we wanted a great room. I didn't get a great room. I got a good room, man. It ain't great. We missed the mark, and neither one of us saw it till it was too late. I mean, our great room can accommodate 8 to 10. There's no way we're putting 26 people in. Now, had we been able to walk it, if I would have added 5 feet to the room, it would have been perfect, and it wouldn't have been a big deal to do at the time. But unfortunately, when we found it, we were too far downstream, and so we just had to live with it.
You're so like that, actively that, unselling your rental property, you know. So don't no, well, address. Yeah.
So Megan, let me say this: it's amazing what a fisheye lens can do. I'll say that. It rents fine. We're fortunate; it does rent well. But you know, I don't tie in my link to my property on any of these you know, business things. You know, so
The good room just, you know, does just fine.
Right. It's good enough, I guess. Anyway, so that, you know, that was the first thing that happened. Second thing that happened, since we're all Clevelanders, I and a couple friends, we invested and we bought a defunct Catholic school in Lakewood, Ohio. It's St. James Elementary School. It was a Catholic school for 90 years. The Diocese of Cleveland closed it in 2005. Me and a couple friends bought it in 2020. We converted it to commercial space. And we very quickly rented out all of the classrooms to businesses. But we had this big gym space that we were looking to monetize, and we didn't have a lot of great ideas. Well, one of my partners, he's the single biggest builder on the west side of Cleveland, Oster Services. He builds along the lakefront quite a bit. And he was the one who came to me. He goes, and he kind of helped me with my Idaho project. He said, Joe, you know, I think we can figure out a way to take blueprints and project them to scale. And he goes, do you think that would have helped with Idaho? I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, totally, right? So it took us about a year and a half to figure out the technology, and it really was a science. But from the time we figured it out, we opened in late 2022, this business really kind of took off for us. A real, just kind of a one or two minute explanation. We started in December 22. 4 months in, I hired a woman to do some social media for us. I was thinking, you know, we'll just get a local presence in Cleveland. 7 days after I hired her, she posted a video that got over 4 million views. And we started getting inquiries from all over the world. And I was looking, saying, I'm not even sure it's going to work in Cleveland, much less anywhere else. So we just tabled it, right? Yeah. And I said, let's just keep going down the road. You know, we went another 6 months down the road. Then it got super interesting because she posted another video that ended up with over 37 million views.
Oh, wow.
And is then she for hire? Super crazy. Yeah. I forget her name. I'm sorry, Megan. I don't remember. So in 2024, our videos did over 200 million worldwide views. And so I was basically thrust into a position where I'm like, okay, this is an idea that has national/international potential. I know how to build a business. I'm actually pretty good at it. And if I don't do it, someone else is going to. So I was like, heck, let's run it back in a different industry and see if we can build something, right? So to date, we've signed 50, we're going to put 120 locations in the US. We have 55 signed, 31 of which are already open across the United States. But we're going to put 120 in the US and we're actually taking it international. We're projecting our network, a key global account for Panasonic. So a couple other interesting things that happened with the video. We were called and invited to be on Shark Tank in 2024. And I actually told him no, because I didn't want to put my playbook out there. Interestingly enough, they called us 6 weeks ago and asked us if we'd entertain being on season 18. So I can't say for sure, but I will say there's potential that this might end up on Shark Tank in the winter.
Who do you want to be? Who's your target investor? Who are you pitching to?
Robert Herjavec is a guy I think that I would probably gel with. Mr. Wonderful and I don't know. And if he ever sees this, I'm going to be in real trouble if I get. But no, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. We need some help. There's, as with any, you know, startup, there's things we need help with, right? And we have some weaknesses, and I can get some help from those guys. So yeah, interesting stuff. There's other stuff going on behind the scenes, but it's good.
Just a follow up to that, you know, that's super helpful and so interesting. Like, what a wild story. Also, I think there's an interesting element here after the COVID, you know, those 2 or 3 years of COVID, I think everybody like felt that need for more like being in the moment, in the space and in your like natural environment. But in the past, like there have been attempts to solve this problem, but they, you know, didn't really take off. Like AR, VR is the obvious one. I think for a long time, you know, the developers, architects have been trying to get this to homeowners or more generally their clients. Why do you think Walk Your Plans is so much more effective than some of these other attempts at solving essentially the same problem?
So we get that question all the time. And, you know, a lot of our partners, building partners, be they builders, architects, whatever, they use 3D and they use 2D. And mm-hmm. what they tell us is I'll quote a couple different guys here. With 3D technology, it builds excitement. People get excited about it because it's highly visually appealing, right? And it's, for lack of a better term, kind of sexy, if you will. However, it doesn't really give you a sense of space as far as how you actually feel in it. And while we're 2D, when you're in our space, and this doesn't translate, even though you can watch all of our videos, you don't really understand until you're standing in it that you actually feel as if you're in your home. And the conversation, or your building, or your office, or your doctor's office, or
your yard, right? Whatever. I think I stood in a yard. Yeah.
And I mean, you immerse yourself in it. You know, I'm partnering with a Fortune 300 company. It's going to be our first national. They build dental offices, 2,500 dental offices per year. And I met with them in Chicago a couple months ago. They're going to walk every dental office through a Walk Your Plans location this upcoming year. So, and that's just to give you an idea. And people who were space matters, those dental offices, they're called operatories. When you sit in a chair, they call it an operatory. And that space is, you know, that's their Super Bowl every day, yeah. You know, and they want it to be exact, right? And so our people say, the professionals who are our partners who bring their folks through, they catch over 90% of their pre-construction screw-ups at Walk Your Plans. So, you know, if you take a residential project, you take a change order, say you average $2,000 a change order, people will make anywhere from 10 to 20 changes per hour. So if you look at it over time, it adds up very quickly, right? And most importantly, the end user is finally getting exactly what they want. Residential, commercial, on both sides, right? Cleveland Clinic Foundation, we're here in Cleveland, right? They're starting to walk almost all of their projects through us. There's applications to commercial restaurants, hospitals, just all kinds of, wherever space matters, you feel it. And we have the ability to drag and drop furniture into space if it's a residential project. We have, you know, libraries of people's, you know, equipment that they want to drop in and move around and see if it's going to function. But you really feel as if you're in it. And in our pre-conversation we had before we started recording, it's very interesting to see the high-level conversations that people have about, and it's as if they're in their office. And it's really neat to see. And I think the most rewarding thing for me as starting a new business, you always want to solve a problem, make something better, you know, or you know, create something that has value. About 6 months in, I realized that we had never had someone come through and at the end of the session be like, oh gosh, that didn't really help me. It was really cool, but it didn't really help me. So I'll tell you, we're 3.5 years in. We've had over 1,000 people walk in Cleveland. We still have never had anybody walk and be like, that was really neat, but it just didn't help. I mean, and I'm very proud of that. I really makes me feel great to know that we're providing value. And the end user, their experience and how they leave our facility, they have a way higher level of confidence in their project. They feel like they know what they're getting for their money. They, whoever brings them through, the architect or the builder or whoever brings them through, that helps their relationship with their client too, right? Because you're really saying to your client, look, I'm doing everything I can to give you exactly what you want. And that's why we're here. And people love it. I mean, and I just feel fortunate that I just happen to be the person who's helping build the bridge.
That's, I mean, your origin story for it is so interesting. And then, you know, how you found this pocket of truly unmet need that you're able to provide so much help and so much value to is incredible. And you thought you were going to retire. You had space, right? You had space and you had the knowledge, you know, to have new ideas come to you to be able to build this, you know, this iteration of Walk Your Plans.
The challenge for me and the thing I enjoy is building. It's kind of figuring out a puzzle. You know, that's what
it's fun to build. So.
It is fun to build.
Joe, one thing that also struck out to me is like, do you feel like a generational gap that you're also solving? So by that I mean, I have this feeling that for the younger generation, you know, Gen Z or even my generation, you know, the millennials, it is harder to visualize space, also because how much time the average architect or the designer spends in AutoCAD or Revit all day long. And I think these tools, like sometimes, you know, they tend to distort your sense of scale just in, you know, in the real world. So do you feel, you know, an element there of like, is this a solution that you think is effective with all the demographics, all stakeholders on the project team, all age groups and so on?
Yeah, so spatial orientation spans all ages, and lack of spatial orientation. I'm exhibit A. I'll admit I don't. You know, the professionals come in, they're like, I know this will work, but almost universally, every single person who comes in, be an architect, builder, whoever, they always find mistakes, their own mistakes. And it's kind of funny. Like when we first started, you know, I thought architects would be our biggest fans, right? But what we initially had, we had a little pushback initially because I think I look at architects as kind of like the artists of the construction industry, right? And they're building these fabulous buildings and residences and things like that. But the print, that's their baby. You know, they created that. And there's an old axiom, no one wants to be told that their baby's ugly. And so we had some pushback initially from, but now once they've kind of said, okay, now I can see really, you know, where they really believe is when they bring their client through and they see their client making good, solid decisions and really engaging in it. And you see their level of confidence in the project go up. And that's what everybody's looking for, right? We have not made this our official company motto, but it's looking like, and I keep pushing my team, we get to yes quicker. We get more yeses on our floor. And you know, you're looking to get decisions made, right? And people who, you know, conflicted people don't buy. They're not going to give you, and everybody just wants to get to, just tell me what to do, I'll do it, but I got to get a yes first, right? And we help people with that. It's just great to see decisions made, projects moving along, and timelines speeding up, and things like that. Those are some of the things that we do.
So I want to take a quick pause here. That was fabulous. I love that. I think getting to yes faster, you know, has a lot of different levels for you from a marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. But I want to pause and I want to ask our listeners, if you're finding value in this episode, which I don't see how you couldn't be, but if you're finding value in this episode and it's something that you wish you could share with someone, or you're like, oh, I wish this person, I wish that they had known, feel free to share this episode with them and feel free to do it right now. We're going to give you a pause. Just copy the link, drop it in a text, shoot an email out, share this with someone who you think could benefit from it. And if you're enjoying it, I'd also encourage you to click the subscribe button so that you are able to be notified when our next episode of Inside the Spec launches. So do that. I'll give you a second. And we're back. Okay, so Joe, I would like to ask you those conversations that you mentioned and the things that people are finding beyond the mistakes of the creator, because it is, everyone's going to make mistakes. What are the things that are most commonly uncovered, or what are the conversations that you overhear in that gym?
What are the change orders that get avoided when the team is in your space?
So people on the residential side, when they come in, they want to immediately see their kitchen, They want to see their great room and they want to see their master bedroom. And that's what they, this has to be right, right? They want it, which we totally get, right? It makes a lot of sense. However, they spend 90% of their time in their bathrooms, in their closets, in their laundry rooms, because, you know, generally speaking, and this is just residential, I'll cover commercial in a minute. Generally speaking, your master bedroom is usually big enough, if not too big. Same with the great room and the kitchen. Kitchens do matter, obviously, right? They're hugely important. But when you get to tighter spaces, an extra 6 inches to a foot can make a world of difference in how you do it. And, you know, especially when, and what you don't have on blueprints is you don't have furnishings, you know, or you do, but you can't really feel it, right? When we populate it, be it an office with desks and counters and conference tables and things like that, every single day, people are like, I had no idea. This is not going to work. We need to do this. We need, and you see these live changes all day. And again, if you're going to make 10 to 20 changes per hour, and it's same thing on commercial, it's pretty much the same numbers that you're looking at per hour. Just think about the dollars involved in that, right? I mean, think about the dollars of, you didn't do it before, so now we're under construction. Either you're going to change it or you're going to live with it. When you don't have to do that, right? There is an alternative that really costs pennies, but you get it right from the gates, from right off the jump, right? And you go in and your timeline speeds up. You stay on budget. You're not having to have those awkward conversations about, hey, this isn't going to work. And guess what? It's going to cost you a lot of money. You know, and we help with that. And I just think, you know, just a little bit more on the front end planning gets you has an exponential effect on the outcome out the other end of the pipe.
Yeah, you recently built your house, and you and your wife, really your wife, right, did most of the design. And what do you wish you'd walked your plans for? Yeah. Is there?
You know, the thing is, it's like what Joe said is so right. Because even as an architect, when I was looking at our home plans, I didn't have a frame of reference because most of the work I'd done was very large scale on the commercial side. My wife very luckily had a great sense of space. And so in this house, no changes. But generally, I know exactly what Joe's saying because, yeah, the small details, which are like easy to ignore in a plan, end up being something you notice so much in your space, be it an office, be it a hospital or your home, all the time. Joe, you know, on that note, the primary audience here is manufacturers and folks who do sales, marketing, product development at all these, you know, the manufacturers around the country. I'm sure these guys would love to be a fly on the wall when the project teams are in your space and they're talking about these optimizations. I'm sure sometimes they're also talking about materials and other things, if even the project is in schematics. What are some things that, you know, just like the insight you just shared, but other things that you feel like project teams, you and your team have seen them talk about, which may not be that obvious to somebody who's outside the industry or who is like a manufacturer?
So, yeah, I mean, they're making choices constantly, right? The clock's running, the meter's running. And what we're able to do is we're able to get people through that process, be it, it may be a bank of cabinets that they want to decide what configuration do they want. We have an elevation wall that projects 16 feet tall by 35 feet wide. So we can do pretty much any commercial space you want, and you can get through 5 to 10 iterations literally in 10 minutes and decide which one is the one that's going to work for you, right? And so those are the kinds of things that, you know, people are starving for. You know, how do I get them to see it and understand what we're trying to get to them? So that like, and the conversations are about that stuff. You know, how is this going to work? You know, what do we, you know, tell me what you need. And the end user drives the session. What ends up happening is the professionals lead the session at the beginning, but as it goes, it gravitates towards the person who's the client driving it and saying, no, I want this. No, and you know, look, you're starving for that information. You're wanting him to feed you that. But then they get in an environment where they're like, okay, this is real. I'm going to tell you exactly what needs to happen here. And you're getting real decisions, right? And those decisions just can't, they just don't happen over the phone or in an office. You're distracted and other things are going on, right? Your phone's vibrating in your pocket and you're thinking about all the other things you have to, but when you're in our space, like people don't take phone calls. I mean, they're in and they're working hard and stuff is moving quickly and big decisions are being made. It's fun to watch.
So how does that work? You're in there, there's 10 different iterations that are going up. How does that happen and who's driving the technology? Is that something someone on your team does? Is right. that the so we, architect yeah. or the designers in there doing it? Like, explain more about it, how that,
so Megan, it happens both ways. So, sometimes most of them will send us files 24 to 48 hours beforehand. Our team will review them, right? And we want to make sure that their client is going to get a great experience. So we may ask them, hey, you know, we need to have you lift all the dimension lines. We'll kind of look at what they're doing. We know what they're trying to accomplish, right? So mm-hmm. we'll kind of drive them towards the best way to present that. But there are times where the architects will just plug in and make live changes right there. You know, we have that happen all the time. We had a 150 unit, 55 and older community going in Columbus. The developer brought her team of 11 up to Cleveland. She wanted to squeeze 30 to 50 square feet out of each unit. So she had her architect, her GC. In the first 40 minutes, they identified 37 square feet that they wanted to change. The architect went to our conference room, changed it. We reprojected them 15 minutes later. They walked them. They said, this is great. 10 minutes later, the GC comes out. He goes, okay, savings of $3,200 per unit times 150. They saved $480,000 and they were there 2 hours. So those are the kinds of things we see all the time.
Yeah. That's, I'm going to guess the ROI on renting your facility and the cost savings. Yeah.
On the commercial end,
ROI.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah. It is for sure. Yeah.
So how do people engage with you? So if I'm an architect or I'm a builder and I'm listening to this, which one of those tends to come to you most? You mentioned that there was maybe some friction with architects at the beginning.
Initially,
are you seeing that, you know, go away as it's clear?
It is.
Yeah.
I think architects, like Vernon said, the 3D kind of technology, that was their norm, right? So the friction, though, from 3D to 2D, as soon as they come into our space and see it, and again, see it through their client's eyes, that's the most important thing. The walls come crumbling down and the defenses kind of come down and they're like, hey, look, we want to move this project forward. We want to give our client the best end result possible, right? And so kind of the you know, holding their forward of how they always do business, you know, or being open to doing a new way of business. That's kind of what happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So who most often brings someone in? You have relationships and you can do these one-off, you can buy a subscription.
Sure.
Like, how does your business model work? Tell
sure.
us more about
so,
that.
There's a variety of different ways people come to us. We do have direct-to-consumer, people who just, you know, I have a plan, I want to walk it, and I'm going to drag my builder in because, you know, he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to hear what I have to say. You know, we get that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our business, though, comes from our partners who we'll give them a discount to come in and bring their folks off of our rates, but we'll give them a package deal, obviously, because they're partnering with us, right? So they'll bring, we were line fishing when we started, Megan, and pulling fish in one at a time. And mm-hmm. we quickly learned we want to partner with these architects. We want to partner with these builders and, you know, have them bring all the fish to us, right? And so that was evolutionary in the growth of the business. And you know, that's kind of where we're driving. When we started out, we solved my problem, which was a residential construction project. So our first year, we were probably high 90% residential. Where I really think this business is going to end up is more commercial. I would say it's going to end up 60-40 or maybe even more commercial to residential. Because look, the risks, there's so much more risk involved, right? And on the commercial end, if you don't get it right, you know, it's big dollars. And you know, if you're not on time, on budget, and those kinds of things, those are real dollars. And we help streamline timelines and get a better end result coming out the other end of the pipe.
And I think you also saw, and you mentioned this, I can't remember if we were recording already or we were just chatting at the jump, but you've expanded beyond Cleveland. You're looking at going international,
yeah.
you know, so how many Walk Your Plans facilities are there? Where is this available
sure.
to people?
So we're putting 120 in the U.S. I will tell you, we've already signed 55 locations across the U.S. most of the major metro areas, we have, like in Chicago, we have 2 locations. New York City, we have 3, about to be 5. LA has multiple locations. So the major metros will have multiple locations in. We're putting 120 in the US. We have 55 signed, of which 31 are open. 24 are in the process of opening. I mean, each week I'm interviewing 10 to 15 new prospective licensees to open locations in the U.S. Yeah, it's and then we're taking it international. We're, I believe, knock on wood, about to sign our first Canadian licensee.
Hmm. Interesting.
And we're very close on that. Yeah. So yeah, mm-hmm. and we've had huge international interest. So, and Panasonic basically brought us in and said, we can put you in 5 continents. You tell us where you want to go.
Hmm. So, is that who your technology is through?
Through Panasonic. Yeah.
And what's the profile? I'm just curious. What's the profile of someone who's a licensee for you? Is it an entrepreneur? Is it someone coming out of the construction industry and is interested in a new perspective?
Yeah.
Like what's that person look like?
I would say about 75% are industry people. Some are builders. Have a lot of architects who are owners. We have some realtors actually who are owners. We have some interior designers. So there's a wide variety, mostly industry people, because they, you know, I think people nerd out on what they enjoy doing, right? Mm-hmm. And your career is what you gravitate towards, and they see it and they're like, this is a great opportunity. So what's good about that is that strengthens our base. So this is phase one of what we intend to do, which is the blueprint. But as with any business, especially if you're in technology, you have to evolve your business, right? And so we're being approached by, I would say every week, 1 to 3 national/international tech companies will come to us and say, hey, look, we have an enhancement. We feel like, because we now have a national network, would they rather build a national network or partner with a company like ours who already has a national network and kind of piggyback, right? So we're vetting it constantly and we're looking to how do we enhance it? How do we make it better? And Verdana, some of the things you're talking about, like how do you populate walls? And you know, holographic technology is probably going to be the answer to that. Some form of a hybrid, and we have some leads on that that we're looking into, enhancements and things like that. But we're, you know, constantly pushing the, you either evolve or you become extinct. And my team, I'll give you an idea. Our guy in St. Louis, our licensee, he's an architect. His wife's an interior designer. It's a husband wife team. But he ran the tech department for McCarthy Construction, which is the 8th largest commercial construction company in the United States. And so everything that I do, I vet through him. Mm-hmm. And so he'll, because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not the typical industry guy, right? So I'm learning, but I'm not as versed. But I have the right people on my team to help me do that. So my licensee in Seattle came from Meta. He was part of their team. So, you know, it's a diverse team, but there's a lot of knowledge in our licensee base that's helping us scale this business very quickly.
That's fun.
I'm very fortunate that way. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. I got to imagine that's a fun group for when you guys all get together with the different backgrounds and perspectives and everything, you know, and the vision.
Some fun stories. Interesting.
And young and growing, you know, it's so fun. Yeah. So that would be a great room. Well, I think that's it. Unless, Vardhan, do you have any more questions? Yeah. I
mean, well, just the last one we usually ask, Joe. It started actually in the last season where we primarily had architects on the podcast.
Yeah.
Now with this season, we have more diversity in, you know, in backgrounds like yourself. The last thing we always ask is, what is your favorite building in the world and why?
My favorite building in the world? The Great Pyramid. To me, that's the Great Pyramid of Giza. I just absolutely.
Have you been?
No, it's literally my next bucket list. I've been to 7 continents. I've been to all 50 states, but it's literally the next one on my bucket list. I was supposed to go during COVID and our trip got canceled. And so I'm going.
I don't think, you know, there could be a sort of a better answer than that. You know, I'll say this to you, and it's the same story you'll hear from anybody who's been to the pyramids, which is you see photos, but they don't really do justice to being their life. And
so you've been there.
Yeah, experiencing that in real life.
I'm
yeah,
jealous.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And
I'm
just like walk jealous. Your plans and the, you know, the business you've built, it is the same story, which is to see a photo is one thing, to see a rendering is one thing. But when you're there, that experience is really special.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, I am dying to get there. I really want to see it for sure.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, book your ticket. Make it real. You know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Book your plans, international expansion, starting with Egypt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, listen, I want to thank you for inviting me to be on. It's an honor to be on with you guys. I really enjoyed meeting you and getting to know you and getting a chance to talk about our businesses. It's just fun to do. And so thank you for this. I have a lot of gratitude. Thanks so much.
Great. Well, you were a great guest. It was super interesting. And that does conclude this episode of Inside the Spec. As I mentioned before, if you found value in it and you can think of a colleague or a peer or a friend or someone who you know that would find value in it also, please share the episode with them. And also be sure to subscribe so that you can find out when our next episode drops. That's it for this edition of Inside the Spec. Have a great day.